I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Victory Monday on the Sports Junkies is driven by your local D.C. area Acura dealers. Shop dcarea.acuradealers.com for current incentives.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington, brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle, Johnny Cake Sawville, and Jason Bishop. That's the foursome. And join us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline like he does every Monday at 7 o'clock. Insider for ESPN.com covers the Washington football team. It's our pal John Kime. Hey, John.
What up, guys? How are you?
Good morning.
Nice
John.
To actually have a win. We haven't had many the last couple of years, right?
No, I'm not quite sure how to react to this kind of stuff. It's different.
Well, especially when your opponent is so bad, and there's no denying the Cowboys are wounded. And then you even lose your backup. Now you're down to your third string quarterback. They can't tackle. I mean, the Cowboys are just—it's shocking how bad they are. So it's hard to gauge. But, John, I don't want to get too carried away, and I want to talk about this game. But as I just tweeted, and I noticed this last week, John, you were probably forced by ESPN because I know you don't like to pick stuff, but you had them winning three of the next four, right, before this game.
Right.
And if you look at their next four opponents now, their next four opponents are 1-5, 3-3, 1-5, and 2-5. Now, listen, Washington's equally as bad. But they have a realistic shot. I mean, they could. It wouldn't be the craziest thing in the world if they beat those teams. I mean, when Detroit's the best team you got coming in the next 4 weeks, you got a shot at, stacking some wins together.
You do. The problem with their schedule is the teams that come right after that.
Yeah, those are losers.
Pittsburgh, San Francisco, Seattle, and that's where it gets tough. But, yes, I mean, they have a chance to get some momentum, and then you go down the stretch with a chance to win a couple more games to win a really bad division. And, you look at the rest of the teams in that division, and you could kind of say the same thing about them as far as like, okay, well, yeah, they could win these games, but then here's this tough stretch. And it's a tough stretch for all these teams because they all kind of stink. So, but they all have Philly has Seattle, Green Bay, New Orleans, Arizona, Cleveland. You know, the Giants have Tampa, Seattle, Arizona, Baltimore still left. Now, so, you're going to look at all those teams and say, oh, those are going to be hard games for them to win. So it probably will come down to if you get to seven wins in this division, you're winning this thing.
Right.
But it may come down to six. And so you can look at at Washington's schedule and say, yeah, here's how you can get there.
Oh, they can get to six.
It's almost like you've got to take advantage of these next you get the bye, then you have
to. Well, they
have
to.
You got to take advantage of those three games.
They have to beat the Giants. Yeah. And, because, if you want to win a bad division, you can't get swept by a team that's currently
below
with
you.
One
yeah.
win.
Yeah.
So you have to win that game. And then you have, Detroit and then Cincinnati. You've got, at worst, you have to split those two. And I think, Cincinnati is going to be both of them are going to be tricky games, but even the Bengals will be tricky because they do have a really good quarterback and they can move the ball pretty well.
Score.
John, we've seen the Antonio Gibson breakout day brewing over the past few weeks, and it came to a head this past weekend. 20 carries, goes for a 128, finds the end zone, average almost 6.5 yards per carry. Are we going to see this sort of workload for him going forward? We know that Rivera and Turner still like to sprinkle in Peyton Barber and McKissick, but it looks like Antonio Gibson's the leader in the backfield, at least for this week.
Well, he's always been the guy that you knew had the highest ceiling of this group because of the transition he was making from receiver in college. And again, when I say receiver in college too, it wasn't like he was running every kind of route. He was a raw receiver at Memphis. He did, there were a limited number of routes that he was running. So it's not like, we're not talking about taking Terry McLaurin and putting him back there. He also played some running back, but the running back style that he used was more outside zone. Here it's a lot more inside runs, a lot more power runs. So he's got to get used to doing that, and you've seen progress there. This is a kid who absolutely desperately needed a preseason to learn how to run through the middle, and you saw, you got to get the pad level down, those kind of things. And you see that developing. So I do think you're going to see more of it, but I also like the way they've been going, too. If McKissick's having a hot hand, they're going to ride with him. Barber hasn't had a hot hand at all, so, he's just the guy coming in when, in short yardage or whatever. So it'll be McKissick or Gibson. Those are the two guys who give them the ability to make plays. Now, what happened yesterday, too, is they had success. They had to use McKissick at times, as a slot receiver. But that gets you into those two running back situations. And what you saw, even on, the 40-yard run, was just a well-designed play because they have McKissick as a running back on that play going to the left. You have Cam Sims faking the jet sweep. But then you have... So, after you fake the jet, you're faking the toss, and you're coming back behind with Gibson running behind the line. He wasn't as a running back in that spot, so that was a well-designed play. But you saw that alignment be very effective, and so I think that's something you could see more of going forward. And they were able to use some RPOs out of that, and they took advantage of linebackers that haven't been great against the run. So I think there were a lot of things that went into play here, and Gibson's development is definitely among them.
Why did they start out? I mean, I know they're committed to this committee thing.
With Barber?
Yeah, why did they start out with Barber?
I don't know. Because they were going a lot of two and three tight end sets in that situation. So I think if they had stuck with that, it would have been a bigger thing, but they didn't. But yes, I don't know. I think it's just they wanted to start off with some power runs. And I guess, but that's the only thing I don't have a good answer on that one either.
Yeah, I know.
Talk about the big loss. Landon Collins tears his Achilles. He's out for the year. So what's that mean for the safety position?
Okay,
obviously Shays is going to start. Is Apke going to be back there or is someone else?
Well, first off, Collins is undergoing an MRI later this morning, and that's when it'll be they'll confirm their worst fears.
Okay.
So what they were able to do yesterday is to put Cam Curl in, and Troy Apke did go in as well at times. So I don't know what they're going to do necessarily because, DeShazer could play both safety spots. You can go out and sign somebody. I mean, Eric Reed is out there, and Ron Rivera was very complimentary of him from his time together in Carolina. Mm. So that, you'd have to include that as an option just because of his knowledge of him. And I think one of the things that helps here, and I talked about this on my podcast too, but it's Kendall Fuller's versatility, I think, gives them some flexibility here. He can go line up at safety in some obvious pass situations. You're not putting him back there as a free safety in every down situation where you got to come up and make stops against the run. But when you get to an obvious pass situation, you can put him back there and then maybe use the Shazer a different way as well if you need to. So that gives them some flexibility as well. But, Cam Curl, he's been effective, but he was effective playing up near the line, which is what obviously Landon would do a lot of, but also kind of in a slot cover situation. So he can handle, he can do some of that too. So Apke was more of a free safety. I don't know that you want to go back and put him back at a free and put the Shazer at strong. That wasn't working. So I think DeShazer's been solid back there. I would keep him back there and then look for another option at the strong side.
I want to talk to you about Chase a little bit. And I'm sure you'll watch the film. He made a bunch of plays. Thought he was all over the field. But no sacks. Not
right.
Too much behind the line of scrimmage. It appeared to me the few times they isolated on him that he was being doubled. And maybe that's true. What was your impression? Because it seemed to, whatever it was, obviously they were going against a banged-up line, but the other guys were able to thrive. So were they actually doubling Chase a lot?
Yeah, and that's something I'll have to watch. I don't want to sound like a coach. I got to go back and watch the film. But that is like, because, you know, I'm not focusing on him on every play either. Yeah. What I do know is that he gets doubled and shipped a lot, more than anybody else. And so how often it was yesterday, I don't know. Early on, watching it this morning, there was definitely some times. You know, so I think that's, you know, but he, so yeah, I'm curious to see that too, to be honest, how much is that going on?
Yeah.
Because I would have thought he would have had more noise as far as a sacks go, but he is getting some pressure, and he had some pressure, and he is making, you know, he sets a really good edge against the run, and he made some stops there. But yes, I think that's something that I want to go. I'm curious to see too. I don't have like, but I do. Like I said, in watching in the previous games, he definitely gets doubled and chipped a lot.
Right, right. How do you evaluate the quarterback play? I mean, nobody thinks that Kyle Allen's a world beater. Literally nobody. But I tell you what, John, he's a good athlete. If he can limit the turnovers, he can make the throws. He's going to throw. I mean, he makes some throws into tight windows, which, you know, sometimes they'll return him for interceptions. But if he can limit turnovers, they can win with a performance like yesterday.
Yeah, and he was fine. You know, like there wasn't anything he did that you say that was just real. Oh man, that was horrible. And there wasn't anything you say, man, that was just unbelievable. Mm-hmm. But he operated the game well, and there were times where his athleticism kept them out of negative situations. Even on the first drive, there was a play where. I think DeMarcus Flores came off the edge. Somebody came off the edge, and Schweitzer was pulling on a pass action play, and he doesn't get to him. And Barber is able to kind of turn off his fake and peel and try and chip him, but he still gets to Allen, who is able to duck and get out of it. And that was like, that's a subtle play, but it could have been a 7-10 yard loss. Instead, it's a throwaway incompletion, but you live to, you know, but you're still in a positive down and distance situation because of that. And I think the next play, they got like 8 or 9 yards. So, you know, so that those are little things too that he was able to do. But I mean, it wasn't like, you know, I thought he operated the game well. There was nothing that just jumped out. I mean, clearly the running game got going, et cetera. But you know, he did his job. He didn't turn it over. So those were positive. I mean, you're right. He's not a world beater, but he operated the game well yesterday.
John, don't want to waste too much time talking about a third-string player, but Dwayne Haskins breaking the team's COVID protocols while on the road was remarkably stupid. And when you've fallen out of favor and you want to make an impression maybe on the next team you go to, it's not a smart move by Haskins.
No, I mean, listen, this team has been very, very cautious with all this COVID stuff. Rightfully so, but, you know, and I think, you know, my point in saying that is that I think a lot of things have been communicated to the players and, you know, about how they need to operate. So, you know, you have a coach with cancer, you know what I mean? I don't know more of the details, like, you know, a ton of stuff, but I know that this stuff has been communicated to them, you know, because, like I said, I mean, they've been forerunners, but, they've certainly been very aggressive in handling this situation. So, you know, there you go.
Yeah, the Giants
it wasn't a good look.
Daniel Jones did it too.
Yeah, I mean, listen, and he was out.
He was worse in that sense. Yeah,
yeah, his was yeah, absolutely. And you know, in this case, they caught what was going on. And the person who was supposed to be going there was told, and so never showed up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, with Daniel Jones, like if I see that, I'm even that's reckless because now you know you're going out. This is such a perilous thing that you know you can affect a guy's livelihood. You going out and doing that, and you're bringing something back in. And let's say the game gets postponed or canceled, or whatever. You're now messing with other people's jobs. So yeah, that I felt like that was reckless. Absolutely.
John, appreciate the time as always. It's John Kime.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
All right, coming up next, let's get into some of the individual performances. We'll talk about who popped for us. We want to hear from you. What popped from that game? 800-636-1067. Yes, maybe you want to keep it in perspective, but EB, you want to hear the music? Revel in it. They only had 3 wins last year. This is the second win this year. What popped for you?
Every win is awesome.
Yes.
It makes the if you're a fan, it makes the week so much better.
And it's a bye week win.
Yeah, get 2 weeks.
Soak in it.
2 weeks to relish in it. And you beat the friggin' Cowboys.
800-636-1067. We'll take your calls next on the AAA Always On Call listener lines. We're the Junkies.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Victory Monday on the Sports Junkies is driven by your local D.C. area Acura dealers. Shop dcarea.acuradealers.com for current incentives.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington, opening up the AAA Always On Call listener lines at 800-636-1067 as we talk about the Washington win over the Dallas Cowboys and wondering what popped for you as a fan. I'm going to lead off, and it's not something specifically about the game, but it's kind of an overall statistical perspective. When I checked out the numbers today, and I was thinking about the pregame show I did yesterday with Logan Paulson, and he said that the previous 2 weeks, when Washington only had one sack, you kind of saw a script where schematically teams were moving the pocket, rollout plays from guys like Jared Goff and Daniel Jones, and that mitigated the success of the defensive line. And what he said is the way that you kind of counter that is you start blitzing more. And yesterday we saw Jack Del Rio throw more blitzes in there. And what I'm looking at right now is, believe it or not, the Washington defense, this is what's popping to me. They're fourth in the league giving up just 309 yards per game. And even in points per game, where they were down on the list after giving up all those 30 points per game, they've improved to 11th in the league, allowing just 23.6 points per game. So I'm going to say what popped is Jack Del Rio's defense has become
crazy.
One of the better defenses in the league.
No, you're getting crazy. Because the yardage thing is a misnomer because
I know
they were
giving up turnovers.
Short fields. And this is all because they held one team to three. So
a bad team,
yeah.
A really bad team.
Duped? You're getting lost.
Don't get caught up in the stats.
Those are meaningless.
But I'm
going to
give him props in this game because he did throw more blitzes. Because teams have taken away the defensive line pressure with short passes, rollouts. At least that's what we saw from the Rams and the Giants.
Well, in this particular game, knowing that you've got a bunch of third stringers on the line, you got Dalton who can't run around. He can't run around a brick wall. You've got to take advantage of that. So you expected them to take some shots with the blitzes yesterday. I'll tell you, I mean, we've already talked about it. What popped for me, Gibson, he was just really good. He got it started early with that 40-yard run. Now, they ended up going for it on fourth down, didn't get it, but that set up that safety. He was just really good all day. Didn't catch any balls, but didn't really have to. He just makes things happen. I think he's going to be a really good player in the future. He popped for me. 20 carries, 128 yards, 6.4 per, and he got a touchdown. So that was just a nice game.
What jumped out at me was the engine of the passing game. That's Terry McLaurin. He has 291 yards of yak, by the way, on the season. The only guy with more in the entire league is Alvin Kamara. He gets a ton of targets, been targeted 69 times. He's found the end zone twice. As Terry McLaurin goes, this passing game goes. I mean, he's just an alpha in this wide receiver pecking order. Another solid performance from T-Mac yesterday.
Yeah,
the new T-Mac.
Play the music for me, Valdez. Two things jumped out at me. One, I talked about it earlier. Cole Holcomb, you know, he's been back in the lineup since the Giants game, and I thought there was a stretch there where he was dominant. It was all over the field. He's a little undersized. You know, I'm not saying he's great, but he just has a nose for the football. And so, I don't know, he's really impressed me a lot. He had a sack and an interception yesterday. And then Logan Thomas, you know, who I told you as soon as they signed him that this guy could have an impact for him. I'm not saying he's great, but he kind of had a breakout performance, you know, in terms of yardage, 4 catches, 60 yards, got in the end zone again. And he's quietly putting together, you know, a decent season. He's not George Kittle. He's not a game breaker, but he's capable. And his touchdown, you know, where he caught the ball, was able to stop and gather himself and then burn up that sideline there to get in, was fairly impressive. He's had a couple good catches. So, Logan Thomas jumped out at me.
800-636-1067. What popped for you as a fan of the Washington football team as they beat the Cowboys to get their second win? Let's go to Vic in Akakeek on line one. Vic, you're on with the Junkies. What's up?
What's up, John?
Hey, Victor. What's up, bro?
That's cool. I'm all right, Jason. So the biggest thing was just the quality of play versus a team that you were supposed to beat. Now, I know some, prominent skaters would say, even I would say, well, the Redskins, the Washington football team is bad, so we don't know they're supposed to beat them. But when you just look at it from a perspective of what that team has and how what they don't have, speaking of the Cowboys, how depleted they were, you're supposed to be able to take advantage of those things. Now, usually we're in games like that, and it's a close game. It's a nail-biter. It's a suspense game. And it wasn't that yesterday. That we did everything we were supposed to do with the accumulation of maybe 3 or 4 plays that I saw that could have went the other way or changed the momentum of the game for us. But we were so good in other areas consistently, not just talent-wise. I wouldn't say it was necessarily talent, just doing things the right way. I'll say this before I go, though. Cole Holcomb was the talent piece that stood out dramatically to me. Mm-hmm. I say this all the time, and you know, 3 or 4 years you all clown me about it, but now you're starting to hear everybody talk about it or hear it more. Ray Lewis, Ryan Clark, I forget the former general manager for back when we were the Redskins.
Riddick.
They all talk about eyes and communication. Riddick, yes. And Cole Holcomb made the linebacker core, I'm playing with it, he made them smart yesterday. He took away what they people been here killing us with for the past 3 months, past 2 months. The middle of the field, the drag routes, the crossing patterns, they weren't able to throw those yesterday. And because he's fast and athletic, he was reading his keys, and he's able to blitz in the areas where the windows are open. So it looks like it's making sense when he's blitzing. He's not just running into the back of somebody. And then he showed, I'm a man, when he made Ezekiel Elliott eat his pass. So I was definitely impressed yesterday at how they were able to finish and win. And hopefully just we can continue to be consistent.
Thank you, Vic. Good call, buddy.
Good stuff, Vic.
That might have been Vic's most concise call, right?
Right. It was under 4 minutes.
Big Cole Holcomb fan.
Hey.
Yes, loves some Cole Holcomb.
Join the club. I like me some Cole Holcomb, too.
His interception obviously was nice because he made a play on the ball, but, man, what a terrible pass from Dalton. I mean, could he throw it further behind Zeke?
Yeah.
I heard a stat when I was driving around, and I was trying to do the math on this just to verify it, so I might not be exact with the stat, but I was driving during halftime, and they said that the Cowboys, in I think 6 straight games, were down by 14 or more in the first half at some point. Think about that.
Right.
You fall
like
behind in the first half by two touchdowns, six straight weeks.
We had a stat like that. I think we broke it last week.
Yeah.
Where we were down 10 or more at halftime for seven straight weeks.
Mm-hmm.
We broke it last week and then obviously continued that trend this week.
Right.
But yeah.
I mean, look, you saw how bad they were defensively. And give props to Washington and Kyle Allen and you know, obviously Scott Turner. I thought he called a much better game. A lot of motion.
Much better.
A lot of misdirection there. I don't think Dallas could have stopped it, even if they knew it was coming. But, you know, they took advantage of a bad defense.
I mean, it's very nitpicky, but, I don't understand the fascination with Peyton Barber, especially when you have guys on your roster like Gibson, who's getting 6.5 yards per pop, and McKissick, who's averaging 7, and then you stick Barber in there, and he falls down and gets you 3.5.
I think the only thing – here's my guess, could be totally wrong, but they probably knew that McKissick and Gibson were going to get a lot of carries in that game. And it was probably just to kind of just even it out. Because Gibson could have carried the ball 30 times.
Right.
And you don't want to do that to him. So.
But Peyton's getting the first carries. Peyton Barber's getting the first carries of the game.
And I wonder if it was something where they thought that, you know what, maybe in the middle of their defense they could just run right up the gut. Mm-hmm. And that maybe is to his strengths more, maybe. Because Antonio still kind of dances around a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's great. He's a great athlete.
When the ball's on the 2-inch line, like it was when McLaurin couldn't get in from the early, that's Peyton Barberville.
Right.
Right there, right at the goal line. That's
well, why didn't they give it to him on 4th and goal?
No, I love that. That was the right call. That was the right call. They just didn't execute.
Yeah, well.
You know, he should have maybe gotten to the line of scrimmage quicker or – you know, something, but that was the right call. Quarterback's got to be able to go an inch.
And yes,
you have more cereal in your mouth, EB.
So good. I got Honey Smacks. It's so good.
All right, let's go to line one. It's nerdery that's coming out. That's all the Peyton Barber venom. That's all. That's all it is.
Let's go to Al in Chesapeake. Al, what's up? You're on with the Junks.
Hey, man. How y'all doing?
What's up, Al?
Man, I've been trying to get y'all for 3 years, man.
Come on in.
Hey, look. So goes the quarterback, so goes the team. The quarterback act like he actually understands how to play quarterback. I love Dwayne Haskins. I'm saying if he missing Dwayne Haskins, we still have love for you. But you have to act like you know what you're doing on the field because you can't have a lot of three and outs. So the quarterback really popped for me, man. If he keeps that up, I think we got a chance with the defense still playing a little strong. If the quarterback just be consistent, we can keep winning. Y'all, I'll take it off the air.
All right. Thank you, buddy.
Who loves Dwayne Haskins, by the way? That was weird.
Well, I mean, I feel bad for Dwayne because, you know, he hasn't gotten a fair shot yet in terms of number of starts where you can say, oh, he can't do it or he can. But I think there was some off-the-field stuff maybe that really is true that held him back and the team had just sort of seen enough for now. But the fact is Kyle Allen is more athletic, he's more accurate, and he generally makes better decisions. Now, it looks like he almost fumbled again when he was being sacked one time.
He got the hand and the arm going forward, yes.
There's been a couple times there where you go, wow, he does have a little bit of a fumbling thing.
Yeah.
But
He's got a lot of bit of a fumbling thing.
Okay.
Just look at his numbers.
Right. And, I didn't see that last year because I didn't watch him every week. So it's something that he's got to account for. But I root for him, and I don't. When he drops back, I don't get nervous. I think he can make the throws. He had some nice. There was one out pattern he threw, which is a nice sort of like a touch out, which is a little dicey, but it was right to I think it was McLaurin. The long pass to McLaurin was good.
Mm-hmm.
I think he can hold that job until somebody better comes along.
He's serviceable.
He's serviceable.
That's how I would categorize.
Well, that's what he's going to do.
He can hold that job until someone comes along, and it may not be next year. It might not be. Who knows? Depends.
Well, we don't know, guess is it'll be next year.
The only thing is you just have to keep it in perspective and look how quarterbacks have fared against the Cowboys. They've all done very well against the Dallas Cowboys. So I said this before, and I'd stand by it. There's no way to know it. I would bet that if Haskins was behind center yesterday, he would have had a pretty good game against the Dallas Cowboys.
He's just not as accurate, though. He's
not as
athletic.
That's just what guys do. You can go in and look at week to week and see what guys have done against the Dallas Cowboys defense. They've shined.
They would have won the game. Who knows what the numbers would have been, but they would have won the game if Haskins starts, no doubt.
Yeah, but I, you know.
And by the way, getting back to Haskins and the COVID thing. So, correct me if I'm wrong, but he booked a room for a friend in the hotel.
They say family friend. Does that mean creeper? That's what I thought.
Who knows? Now, if it's a creeper, I can understand not asking the team.
Right.
But
right.
If it's not, if it was a legit friend, like it's buddy from high school or Ohio, whatever.
Yeah.
Don't you have to just ask the team, hey, can I do this? Is this allowed?
Well, he knew that they weren't allowed to.
Well, he has to know that that's verboten.
Well, he's so stupid then. You know you're going to get caught.
Look, he makes bad decisions.
I mean, that's just stupid.
That's another in a line of bad decisions by Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah.
Just throw it on the pile. That's the reason he's a third stringer.
It makes you feel like he feels like it doesn't matter.
Like all of this over. Stuff that we heard about him, oh, he's more mature. He's worked on his body during the offseason. He's honing his craft. All that's out the window. All that goodwill, gone. Out the window now.
This is dumb.
Right.
I mean, what Jones move. And Barkley. Now, Barkley doesn't care because Barkley's not playing. I get it. But Daniel Jones, I mean, come on. You're going to be smarter than that.
Yeah.
He made a dumb move, too.
Well, again, you know, even Barkley is not playing, but you're around your teammates. So if you guys are going to try to stay committed to everybody, you know, trying to limit your exposure as much as you can, then, you know, it's pretty dumb.
Well, and then if you're Barkley or Daniel Jones, you know if you go into Manhattan, you're going to be recognized. It's not like you're going to some podunk place where there's no one there. You're
way to be discreet.
Right, and then you know there's going to be videos everywhere. There's cameras everywhere. I mean, it's just dumb.
And can I go back to my Jack Del Rio point? Because you guys all pounced on me and want to say that it's insignificant.
Yeah.
I just did a little more research. So last week with Andy Dalton against the Cardinals, the Cowboys actually had 27 first downs. So their offense did move the ball. They just had a bunch of turnovers, right? Zeke had two fumbles.
He had four,
and Andy Dalton had two interceptions. Mm-hmm. So Washington held them to 12 first downs. I get what you're saying, EB, that some of the yardage can be misleading because of short fields, but it's not like Washington has been turning it over 100 times now. They had two last week. They had zero this week. So teams have had an opportunity, and it's seven games. The sample size is pretty big. They're number four in the league in yards per game allowed.
No, because about five of them, though, they were just giving up short fields. I mean, I'm throwing that one out, dude.
We've been waiting for this team to be a top 10 defense. Well, now they have one.
They're not.
They're a top 5 defense right now.
No, it's a mirage.
I just don't care about yards per game allowed. I care about points. And if you're near the bottom in points allowed, that's all that counts.
Yeah, where are they in points allowed?
11th.
I don't know, but they were allowing they allowed 30 or more 1 2 3 4 4 straight weeks.
Yeah. The only reason why they jumped up to 11th is because of yesterday. You know, but the good news is their next four opponents are terrible. They're legit terrible.
The Lions aren't terrible.
The Lions have wins over some terrible teams. They have one good win against Arizona, I think.
You know what? The Bengals are not terrible. Joe Burrow, look at his numbers. Look what he's done.
The records might not be good, but look, if you have a legit quarterback, I don't care what your record is. If you have a legit quarterback and you can move the ball, anything can happen.
Well, sure. They got hooked because
Todd
Gurley.
We could lose to all of them, but we could also beat all of them.
Because Todd Gurley went into the end zone when he should have laid down on the 1 yard line.
Yeah.
That is true.
I felt bad. He was getting just murdered for that. And it was, look, he broke through the line and he just.
His momentum carried him in.
Yeah.
He
couldn't stop himself.
But you know what? Make a stop.
Right. I agree there.
Stafford's
can make
a
stop.
With like 64 seconds left. Make a stop.
Why did they even hand the ball off? Why didn't they just kneel the ball? It was first down.
Because they're the stupid Falcons. And they
make
terrible decisions.
It's not Gurley's fault.
I mean, the Lions have beaten the Falcons, who have one win, the Jags, who have one win, and then they do have a good win over the Cardinals. But, you know.
I'm just saying Stafford can play. They've got Galladay legit. Swift is legit. Hawkinson's legit.
Is a good
all
tight
I
end.
Heard about was I mean, how legit good. Was CeeDee Lamb, Ezekiel Elliott, Michael Gallup.
I know. But
every Dalton week I hear how legit man. Everyone is.
But we didn't know how bad Dalton was going to be.
Banged up red rifle, Ginger throwing the ball all over the place.
Isn't it great to puff your chest at 2-5? What a crazy
well, the
season
thing is,
it
we
is.
Should be, we should be 3-4. I'm just livid that we threw that game away last week on some macho 2-point conversion.
You're acting like it's a guaranteed win. If they kick the extra point and they make it, it's an overtime game.
I'm not saying it's a guaranteed win, but it's not
a one
play.
Pretty much are. You're saying we should be 3-4.
Well, it's just – I just hate the macho 2-point thing. It's not like we were playing a great team. We were playing a terrible team.
Okay,
we decided to just leave it to a coin flip.
You could have lost in overtime.
Yeah, okay, but – at least it would have been a series of plays where you have an opportunity to win instead of just one dumb play.
Okay. I just find it hard to chalk that up as should be 3-4
chalk
when they trailed the whole game.
Bet you Penn State wishes Indiana went kicked the extra point.
That's true.
Sometimes it works out, Rick.
Well, Penn State also
no,
made
just a, still stupid.
Penn State made a stupid play
but
too it, by not kneeling and just
right.
Or the kid just doesn't go into the end zone and just kneels.
Right. They did the same thing.
Yeah.
All right. Coming up next,
what are the odds
going
to happen in a college game and an NFL game back to back?
Exactly.
Coming up next, we'll go around the league with the Junkies Blitz, filling in on the rest of Week 7 here on the Junkies.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Victory Monday on the Sports Junkies is driven by your local D.C. area Acura dealers. Shop dcarea.acuradealers.com for current incentives.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington, celebrating a rare victory Monday as Washington beat the Dallas Cowboys. But right now, we'll go around the league with the Junkies Blitz, filling in on what went down yesterday. We talked a little bit about the Sunday Night Football game. It was a shootout in the NFC West, and the Cardinals hand the Seahawks their first loss of the season in overtime, 37-34. Kyler Murray throws for 360 yards and three touchdowns
against the beleaguered Seattle defense. If you were going against Tyler Lockett yesterday, you got boned.
Yeah, it's trouble for you if that happens.
Tyler Lockett on Seattle's side had 15 catches, 200 yards, three touchdowns. But Russell Wilson threw three picks in the game, including late in overtime. And Arizona took advantage of that to hit the game-winning field goal after they had missed a potential game-winning field goal earlier.
Big win for Arizona, now 5-2.
That was a big win for Kyler. He played really, really solid. And it was weird. Russell was, you know, good, but just a couple turnovers he typically doesn't have.
Yeah, I mean, his deep balls.
Beautiful.
He throws the best deep ball in the game, and then that touchdown to Lockett, where Lockett dragged
his toe
in.
In the end zone, it was ridiculous.
I mean, just perfect balls.
No, I mean, ridiculous. I mean, they totally blew that game. That was Seattle's game. But again, that's why I said, I feel like we threw away the game last week. It's the same scenario. Arizona came back, tied it up, and won in overtime.
Yeah, but Seattle, like,
Seattle was up by 10 with, like, 3 minutes left.
Yeah, they've been fortunate this year. You know, like the Vikings game a couple weeks ago, they pulled out a win. So, due theory, they were due a loss.
They play a lot of close games, and that defense will haunt them.
Cards get a bye week, and then they host the Dolphins and the Bills coming out of the bye.
Isn't there some drug addict they can sign, like some stud or alcoholic, Drabby, to beef up the D?
I wish, man. I'd take anybody.
Oh, and yeah. Carson goes down with a foot injury, too. That's no bueno for the backfield.
Steelers beat the Titans yesterday. That was a battle of 2-5-0 teams. Steelers had a pretty convincing lead. The Titans fought back and actually had a chance to tie the game.
Gostkowski.
But Steven Gostkowski, he is having a dreadful year.
I can't dreadful believe he's year. Still there.
He's only hitting 62.5% of his field goal attempts. He's only hitting 90% of his extra points.
Yeah. Yeah. And did you see Ben's reaction when he missed?
Yeah, he looked puzzled.
Yeah, he just said, wow.
Couldn't believe it.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the Steelers obviously controlled that game until about the fourth quarter. They got outscored 17-3. Ben threw a bad pick in the end zone when they were driving to lengthen that lead. And then, like you said, Gostkowski missed another one. Can't imagine that they're not at least thinking about bringing in another kicker right now.
You can't have a kicker that only makes 62% of his kicks.
They'll be auditioning guys this week.
I was looking at the numbers, too. So on the year, for field goals 20-29, he's 1-for-2. 30-39, 3-for-4. 40-49, 1-for-5.
Yeah, that's bad.
That's called Go For It, Ville, if you're Vrabel, if he's in that range.
The Browns had an impressive win yesterday, comeback win with Baker Mayfield throwing five touchdown passes against Joe Burrow and the Bengals. Joe Burrow threw for 406 yards and three touchdowns himself.
Mm-hmm. And he rushed for a touchdown, too.
Like I said, Baker started off the game 0-for-5 with an interception, because that's what he does. He throws a lot of interceptions.
Then he completed like 21 straight.
Yeah, then he got on fire. Now, they may not have Odell Beckham Jr. the rest of the way. He suffered a knee injury, actually, on that interception play when he was going back to, like, make a tackle.
It was bad.
I think they're going to have an MRI, but they've described it as a serious knee injury. I don't know if they expect an ACL.
More Higgins and Peoples Jones.
More Higgins.
If they say serious, that means ACL.
Yeah. If you're desperate for tight end help in fantasy, which everybody is unless you have Travis Kelce on your team,
Look at Harrison Bryant,
4 catches for 56, 2 end zone trips with Austin Hooper sidelined.
By the way,
Njoku caught one, too.
Njoku
got one, too, yep.
He only had 2 catches, but one was a touchdown. If you had the Browns laying 3.5, because depending on when you got it in, it could have been 3.5, you're so bitter because Parkey missed an extra point on that final touchdown.
I would never take 3.5. I would always buy
it down to
point.
3.
I buy about 2.5.
Well, yeah, I mean, you could buy the half point or the full, but if you didn't, man, you are so bitter.
Yeah.
The Buccaneers improved to 5-2. Impressive win against the Raiders. Tom Brady, 4 touchdown passes. He hit Gronk for 1. Scotty Miller on a beautiful touchdown pass in the corner of the end zone. Godwin. And,
that game killed me.
Tyler Johnson. I think he has 15 touchdown passes since week 3 with just 1 interception.
I just needed the Raiders, I think, to stay within like 11.
Yeah.
And they were until the end, and then they just kept pulling away.
Blowed out. They got blowed out by the Bucs.
The fourth quarter was a disaster.
That was a bad bet for us. I had them plus 4.5. I just took them plus the 4.5. It wasn't even close.
No,
I mean, they were up 7-0, but I felt pretty good. But, man, Brady just went nuts in the second half.
And clearly it's already proven. What is more important, a head coach or a great starting quarterback?
Oh, no doubt about that. Oh,
Belichick struggling in New England without Tom Brady.
Do you really want Cam Newton back, JP?
I don't know. Remains to be seen. But I do know that they got spanked 33-6 yesterday. I didn't really see any of the play. Your Niners. They improved to 4-3.
Well, Garoppolo was really good, had a lot to prove. He did throw one bad pick where he threw it high, but he was 20 for 25. And defensively, they just dominated the game because Cam was terrible.
A couple other things to mention. We mentioned the Lions beating the Falcons 23-22 after Gurley scores a touchdown to give the ball back to the Lions. Stafford marched them down and had the game-winning score. Chiefs just stomped on the Broncos 43-16.
Man, how about that weather? The weather out in like the Midwest and out towards Colorado is just dreadful. It's going to be dreadful all week. But
Packers,
man,
beat up on the
unbelievable.
Texans. Packers beat up on the Texans. Aaron Rodgers with 4 touchdowns. Justin Herbert looked good again.
He looked not good. He looked great.
Yeah. 347 yards, 3 touchdowns in the win over the Jags.
Grab, you should watch him play sometime. Justin Herbert. I dipped you off about
The Saints improved to 4-2. They beat the Panthers 27-24. Drew Brees with a couple touchdown passes in that game.
That's a push on my pick. I'm so bitter. They couldn't get one more point.
How many pushes do you have?
2.
Jason, what did
no,
I
no.
have?
7 weeks.
I know I did a 2-gamer, but I have no recollection
of
who I picked.
You lost.
What did I have?
You had Carolina plus, and then you had the over in the Washington.
Hold on, Carolina plus?
And you had the over in the Washington.
Oh, the over is what killed me. God damn it.
DJ Moore, though, explosive game for him yesterday.
Yeah.
4 for 93, 2 end zone trips.
I think the last game to mention is absolutely the bottom of the barrel. The Bills beat the Jets 18-10. For a second, it looked like the Jets might get a win.
I mean,
the
if
Bills,
you have Josh
though,
Allen
falling
on your,
off.
On your roster, if you have Josh Allen, and
he's
passing for over 300, he rushes for like 60, 0 touchdowns against the Jets.
Yeah, what's up with that? What's going on there?
They've fallen off the last 3 weeks. They're not playing as well.
And Allen's not playing as well. Even though the numbers were there, you got to be able to score touchdowns.
You know what? I've got a new girlfriend.
Goals.
Her name's Justin Herbert in my high-stakes fantasy league. Josh
oh, really?
Allen, you're yesterday's newspaper, my friend.
So you it's picked up Justin Herbert like in week 2 or 3
or whatever?
I had him
like 3 weeks ago. He's just been languishing on my bench.
Herbert.
Just sitting there getting 40 points on my bench.
I have Herbert on one of my teams.
But I'll tell you this, not on the bench anymore.
Right.
Going forward, every week starter.
All right, coming up next, we're going to get back to the Washington football team win. It is a victory Monday.
Play the music,
Monday.
Valdez. Come on, brother.
Want to hear from fans. Do you think this is more Washington figuring things out and maybe they can go on a run and get some wins here, or is an aberration because they played the Dallas Cowboys who were awful? 800-636-1067. Are you buying into Washington figuring some things out and being better? Or is it because Dallas is just so bad? We'll take your calls next on the AAA Always On Call listener lines. We're the Junkies on the Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.